We're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. What a wonderful hymn with a great truth. God is always faithful on that first verse. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Well, we praise the Lord for our faithful God, and He is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. I'll preach just a little while, and in just a little while, about that faithful God and how we can trust Him that He's good. The Bible says His goodness is from everlasting to everlasting. Thank you for joining us. There's some here in the gym, and then thank you for joining us online. And we're looking forward to a great time in God's house this evening, and looking forward to a great time as you settle in there, as those admonitions that Brother Daniel gave this morning, just to kind of clear distractions and get ready for a good time. And would you please be honored to, we'd be honored if you just clear those things out for the next 40 minutes or so, and just ask the Lord to do a great, great work in your heart. As we go to prayer, I want you to continue to pray for folks in our church family. We're praying for the family of Miss Laura Moore, who went home to be with the Lord last night, and I want you to be praying for that family. And also we're praying for Miss Joy Harrington. Her mom passed, and please keep her in your prayers, looking to that graveside service probably on Tuesday for Miss Joy's mom, and we're asking the Lord to bless there. And I want you to be praying for Georgia Miller in the hospital, and ask the Lord to strengthen there. And of course, Brother Ira Hay is still in the hospital, and Debbie Deacons. And so we're certainly praying that the Lord would strengthen these and get them back home. And so you pray with us as well about that. So let's ask the Lord to meet with us tonight and do something special right here amongst us. Dear Lord, we are grateful. Grateful for the time to be gathered around Your Word, dear Lord. I believe that we have been too guilty of, Lord, looking at situations and trying to assess whether You're good or not based on a situation. Lord, You're good. And Lord, You're always right. And we're thankful that we can trust in You. And we're thankful, dear Lord, when the situations of life leave us speechless, we don't have to be faithless. Lord, instead, we can trust in You, and we can believe that when we don't understand, we can trust. And I ask You to help us do that even this very evening. Bless the folks of our church that are hurting. I pray that You would comfort them. And Lord, I pray that You would bless families this evening as they're grieving. And I pray that You would just help us. And bless our nation, dear Lord. I pray You'd forgive us for our shortcomings and our sins. But Lord, we want You to use us. And I pray, dear Lord, for our church that we would be more effective than ever before at reaching folks with the gospel before it's eternally too late. Dear Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And Brother Daniel's going to come keep us. You may be seated. We're going to keep us up to date on a few announcements. And then we have a very special guest tonight slipped in with us. And he's going to introduce one of our good missionaries, Brother Rose. In just a moment, he'll come and share a few words with us.
Well, just a couple announcements for you, as Pastor said, and just to remind you of some things that are going on, and we want to encourage you to continue to think about them as they go. And really one major one, and I hit this pretty hard this morning, but want to remind you now that you're right there at home, you might have said, even while I said it this morning, I don't know about the couples retreat because I just don't know what I have going on at that point in time. Well, in church, it's not as acceptable to pull out your phone, but you're at home now, and no one will know unless you're watching on your phone, and then it might be a little bit of a challenge. But on February 26th and 27th, we are looking forward to our couples retreat. And I want to encourage everyone all the married couples, I should say, to consider going on this retreat. And so I want you to look at your calendar, figure out what you have going on right now. And if there is nothing written on your calendar already, just write in couples retreat and plan on going. And if there is something and it can move, then just move it and plan on going. It's going to be a wonderful time. And if you have any questions about registering, you can call the church. We'd be glad to help you with that. If you got a bulletin and you were here this morning, I believe the code that you would need to scan on your phone to take you to the link would be on there, and also the flyers that I was handing out this morning as well. So hopefully you're able to do that. It'll be a great time. And then we're looking forward next week to our evening service. We're looking forward to all of our services. Just as a reminder, this Wednesday night will be online only, and then next Sunday morning will be in person, and next Sunday night we'll also be an in-person service, and we're greatly looking forward to it because we're going to, really what we're trying to do in one way is because not having in-person Wednesday night services, we've not been able to have our teen program and our kids programs like we would like to. And so next Sunday night, we're in a sense, we're going to have our Wednesday night service on Sunday night, but it's just going to be Sunday night. We're going to take the kids out, and Brother Jordan Smith is going to lead that program. We're going to call it Kids Blast. And it's going to be a blast, and that's why we named it that, I guess. And so it's going to be a great time, and he'll take the kids out, and then I'll take the teens down to the youth department. We'll have a wonderful time just enjoying fellowship together, preaching the Word of God. And then right here in our gymnatorium, we're going to have Brother David Fox, who used to be the youth pastor here at the church. And so we're looking forward to next Sunday night, and hopefully you're able to be here for it. And if you have any questions about that, you can call. We'll also have 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds as well for those families that will impact and make it a little bit more possible for you to come. I know it's hard when those things are not there. And so I want to encourage you with that and make that clear. And if you think of someone who needs to know that, you let them know. And we'll have a great time with that coming up this next Sunday night. Well, those are really all the announcements that I want to make you aware of. And so we are excited. It's funny, when you have an online-only service, people don't always know that if they don't go here. And we're so thankful that tonight our good missionary, Brother Terrell Rose, is here with us. He stopped by, and we're glad to have missionaries who, when they're in town, they go to church. And so that's always a good thing, too. And so we're grateful for that, and we're thankful to be able to support Brother Rose, the missionary to Brazil, who supported his dad for many, many years as well. And so we're thankful for him, for his family. And I'm going to introduce him now. He's going to say just a few words, and then we'll move on with the service after he is done. Brother Rose, you come and share with us.
What an honor it is to be here tonight. My dad has always taught me, you be obedient to the pastor. And so he told me to say, what a great congregation we have tonight present. So I'm obeying the pastor. But it is good to be at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. This church has supported my dad for probably over 30 years, myself for almost probably over 25 years. We're so grateful for your faithfulness in supporting us. And as you know, we're here now in the States, being a help to my parents. Please pray for my dad. He is on dialysis, does not walk anymore, and is really struggling at this time, and my mother also. But God has kept us in missions. We're working with three Brazilian missionaries in Brazil, and one of them has established a church. We've helped them establish it. And then we have one in the north part of Brazil where God put upon our heart to build a Bible distribution center. And right now at this moment, they're in the process of building this distribution center for the whole north part of Brazil. And so far, we've been able to buy 2,000 Bibles for the north part, because in Brazil, the north part of Brazil is very poor, and we don't have bookstores like we do in America, and it's even hard to find a Bible. So God put upon our heart to do that, and now we're starting a Bible distribution center in the north part of Brazil. And also, in the mountains of Brazil, probably in about a month, we just rented a place. We'll be starting a brand new church in a city that about 250,000 people, and not one fundamental Baptist church in that city. So God has put upon our heart to help this missionary, and we're helping them as they start. And Lord willing, soon we'll be sending him 500 Bibles to start this new ministry. In April, I'll be going to Brazil for about 21 days, and we'll be traveling to these churches that we're helping with. But not only that, God has put upon my heart the country of Venezuela. Venezuela, as you know, is a country that is going through a hard time at this moment. And we have a Brazilian missionary there. One day I called him and I said, Aguinaldo, I said, do you need Bibles? And this is what he told me. He said, Pastor, he said, not one member of my church can afford to buy a Bible. Isn't that something? I mean, I have many Bibles. I collect Bibles. And that just struck my heart. And now we're beginning probably in a week or two to send 100-pound boxes that we're allowed to do. And we'll be sending the gospel tracts. We've got about 1,000, maybe 1,000 Bibles. 30,000 tracts we'll be sending to Venezuela. And for them to get their own Bibles there in Venezuela. So pray for us. We've got a lot going on. In April, I go to Brazil. I'll be preaching there a lot. And then in June, I go to Mexico. We'll be preaching there a lot. And then in October, God is allowing us to go to India. And we'll be working there for about 12 days. I'll probably be preaching every single day there in India. And pray that God will help us and use us as we continue to serve the Lord. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we need more laborers that will go. There are cities in Brazil that I could tell you about that does not have a fundamental Baptist church. The state we lived in has 193 cities. And in that whole state, there are only 13 fundamental Baptist churches in 193 cities. The harvest is plenteous. And God helping, we want to do the best we can. And I am so grateful, Pastor, for church supporting us so many years and faithfully. I tell you, all of my churches that support us and back us up have been so good to us. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And I was preaching in Greenville, Tennessee, And I'm so glad to have my wife with me. And then great friends of mine, Brother Layton Stout and his son Ethan. And they help us with the ministry in Venezuela to send Bibles there. And pray that God will give us what we need so we can get the word out. Thank you so much.
Let's all stand one more time. I need
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. Savior, I come to thee.
And then that beautiful hymn that speaks of his wonderful peace. We need that. Well, we have it. We just need to access it. We just need to rest in that peace. And that's what the song says. As we sing that tonight, let's think about what we're singing. Wonderful peace.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and his glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen and amen. Thank the Lord for the peace that He gives. And thank you for joining us tonight. What a pleasure it is to get to gather around the Word of God. And we're going to take that Bible and open to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, as you find your place there. I want to preach about the steadfastness of God, the certainty of God, and the surety that we can have that our God is in control. And not only that, but our God is good. And I'd like to think about this. Years ago, I'd met somebody. We were visiting, and some of the family came to our church. And as I got talking to them, you can find your place in Psalm 118. We were talking to them, and this particular man was a father of some kids that rode one of the buses and had some other connection. And he'd said it wasn't a very good time. And he went on to explain why it wasn't a very good time to talk. He had said that his dad, who was a good man, he thought good man, had suffered for years before he died and then finally passed away, and then told the story of a mid-20s cousin of his that had cancer and was a good person. And basically, why would those people face those situations? He said that he doubted that God was good. That's his words that that he said that night. He said, I doubt that God's good. He said, I'm going to wait and see how God, basically, and now my words, not his, how he's going to perform in the rest of my life before I make an assessment about whether I'm going to trust him or not. And you know, we think about that, how terrible that is. Oh, how wicked, how horrible, how bad that is to say that somehow you would think that you get to decide whether or not God is good. But sometimes we stop short of praising God. Things are going good, we praise the Lord. Thank God. Money came in from some unexpected circumstances, and we text somebody about it. PTL, praise the Lord. Or something else happens that comes through for a situation that you're blessed by. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord about this. Praise the Lord about that. But none of us ever praise the Lord. We say, wow, look at this electric bill. It came in. We thought it might, and here it did. Nobody ever says, wow, looks like that car broke down again. Praise the Lord. We also, although we wouldn't be as bold or as brazen as that man that said, well, I'm just really going to wait and see whether God, how he does for me to determine whether or not he's good. But we do withhold some praises from him. Lock my keys in the car. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And we say some things that, or we stop short of saying some things that we ought just because our circumstances are not ideal. So in a kind of way, we all put God on trial. Lord, if you bless me real good, if my health stays like it is, if finances stay even, things don't break down and washing machine stays running, the car keeps on going, that roof doesn't leak, and neither does the anything else come along that's problematic, then Lord, we're just going to praise you. All of us have God on trial just a little bit, I'm afraid. And I wanted this evening just see if we couldn't all just take him off trial and realize what the scripture says about him. Look in Psalm 118 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Now, if we believe the Bible in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, we got to believe the Bible in Psalm 118:1, even when things don't go in your life the way you want them to. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Verse 2, let Israel now say, his mercy endureth forever. And you'll find that phrase again and again throughout the Psalms, and several times in this Psalm. Look over, if you will, in verse number 29 of that same Psalm. It starts off with, his mercy endureth forever, and it ends in verse number 29, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. If you're in Psalm 118, why don't you turn back to Psalm 52, and then we'll begin our message as we bounce around a little bit in the Scriptures this morning. I just kept you in one passage tonight. We'll just look around a little bit of a topical look through there. Psalm 52:1. Why boastest thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. You know, if you compare our goodness and put it up against God, ours is not even worth mentioning. You understand that the Bible says that even our best, our righteousness, our all that we can do to muster up to impress anybody, of course, is filthy rags. But tonight, the Bible says that the goodness of God endureth continually. And I know everybody that's watching tonight and everybody listening would say, oh yes, we agree with this, but I give you number one, God is good. We learned that when we were little kids, but when we were rushing through a meal, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. God is good, but according to the Scriptures, not just because you've been taught it somewhere, according to the Scriptures. And remind yourself this, if you're going to determine whether or not God's good based on your life circumstances, you're going to have a different conclusion than somebody else might have. You say, why is it important to always go back to the Bible? Because the Bible is the thing that never changes. And so if you say, oh no, God's been good to me, and I love testimony services, and I love it when folks testify about how good God has been. But if we're waiting or if we're depending upon what God has done for us to determine about the goodness of God, then there might be some times when we say, my life has been rough. But I would say if we root it back in Scripture that He says, God is good, His goodness endureth continually. Can I just give you a couple thoughts about that? He's great in creation. Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. He's great in the fact that He created the world around us. He's great also in the details of your human body. You understand that you're quite a marvel. You know, some of you men say, yeah, my wife's quite a marvel. I've been trying to figure out all of our marriage. I understand. And you probably won't. She's fearfully and wonderfully made. Maybe it's emphasis on the fearful part sometimes because it does kind of get a little scary. But you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you understand that God's good not only in the fact that He created us, but I see that He's great in the details of our human existence. You understand how close we are to not functioning? True story. Walked into a psych ward one time, and when you walk into those places, it does make you worry that they may not let me out. You know, then well, what makes me think they're going to believe me when I say no? I really do belong on the outside. Jokes aside, I did. The Holy Spirit of God just seemed to speak to me or smote me that there was a beautiful young lady was coming toward me as I was walking in there to see somebody who was having a difficult time in our church, and I thought she worked there. She was just coming to me and she was talking, but then the closer I got, I could tell the words that she was saying didn't make sense. It didn't line up with what I thought she was going to say, and then come to find out she was inpatient there at the facility. That is what the Lord used, but when I got out of there, here's what I thought. Here was a very nice looking person who was very congenial as far as her demeanor. But obviously, some of the things she said just didn't add up. But I thought, and I'm certainly no doctor, and so I don't understand all this, but there's something just a half of something off in her chemical balance is just a little, or chemical is a little bit imbalanced or something. And again, please don't mistake that. The people that are experts know what would be wrong with different people. But I thought how fragile we all are. Because you and I are just one slight little change in our chemical makeup, you and I are just that close to being institutionalized or need to be cared for the rest of our lives. Brother Rose talked about his parents, not that that's their issue, but you understand they served God for years and years and their health has just slipped away from them. You can get that same call about your parents anytime. I could about mine. You could about me, I could about you. And I'm saying this, that we understand that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. This is intricate part, the intricate apparatus that God has put on planet Earth. And here you are. And I'm saying that God is good and He's great because of He created this world, but then also because of His detailed detail in human beings. The Bible says in Psalm 139, marvelous are thy works and thy soul knoweth right well. I see that He's marvelous and wonderful and good, not only because He created the world and because the detail that He put onto human beings. People are all excited about the fact that they can make a phone smaller and smaller, could do it more and more. They're excited about the fact they can put more and more memory. I saw an old picture of Bill Gates who was sitting on this mountain of paperwork, and he had a compact disc back when that was a marvel, and he was showing how much information could be stored on that one CD, and now you can put it on something as small as a little chip in your phone and whatnot. But we all marvel at, look at all we can do, but God's been doing that and more. Put little computers in our brains and made our eyes the magnificent specimen of His glory that they are. I'm saying that He's good in His creation. He's good in His detail of human beings. But then I take you further than that. You know why this old world's still spinning? Because the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, and He is before all things, Jesus Christ, and by Him all things consist. I've heard statements like this in the last month, and so have you. Said, I'm just surprised the whole thing doesn't spin apart. You know why this whole thing doesn't spin apart? God doesn't want it to yet. He's also laid out how it's going to spin apart, if you want to say it like that. And it's not quite that way, but it will all vanish one of these days. New heaven, new earth come down. But the reason it hasn't happened yet, because it's not God's time. And it doesn't matter what we do, what we think or what we know or what we think we know. It'll last on until God's done with it. I believe all in being a responsible citizen of the planet, so to speak. If you want to look at it that way, you can recycle and you can do all these things. I'm certainly not putting any of that down. But my point in saying those things is this earth will last as long as God wants it to last. I think you should be a responsible citizen. I think you should be a responsible person. I think you should be responsible in all those things. But let's not fool ourselves into thinking we're going to make it last 1 hour longer than God wants it to. God's good. Not only is God good, but I'm afraid to say, if you turn your Bibles to Job chapter 1, verse number 12, it just seemed like God brought me to this message for this hour. Not only is God good, but God's allowing trouble to come to your life. Job chapter 1, verse number 12. We know the story of Job. Job's an upright man, escheweth evil, feared God. He's the best of the best, so to speak. He's the member of your favorite Baptist church, which I hope is this one. He's the member of that Baptist church. He's the one that you think is that greatest Christian. He's that missionary. He's that evangelist. He's that one. They said, boy, he's a faithful somebody, or she's a faithful woman of God. He's that guy, Job. But you know what happened to him. The Bible says in verse number 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And you know the story from there. There was a day when his sons and his daughters eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house. And just all things turned loose. All that Satan was allowed to do to Job. Not only Job, and we see in chapter 2, verse number 6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thy hand, but save his life. And so God extended the line far enough to say, God, Satan, you can do what you want, but you must save his life. And all kinds of havoc was wreaked on Job's life. But I thought this was the best guy. I thought this was the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the best of the bunch, if you will. How in the earth did those things happen to him? Because point number one, that God's good doesn't keep point number two from happening, and that is that bad things happen to good people. Joseph, sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, and you know the story as well as I do, lied and cheated, lied about him. His morality was defamed, and his character was slandered and rejected and forgotten. Some of the heroes that I've had of the faith left this world prematurely. And I thought, Lord, when it happened, I remember certain preachers, when they passed on, I thought, Lord, I'd like to tell you your business. But it looks like you should have left this one here. And don't look all pious at me through the computer screen. You've thought the same thing. If so-and-so had to go, and well, look, why couldn't it have been that guy? We needed this one. I was talking with Brother Dan earlier this week, and we were speaking about people that leave this earth world prematurely. And I think I mentioned it briefly this morning, but you understand, if we've got a God that sits out of time, there is no premature to Him. When a young person is taken on to heaven, and we say too early, God says, He doesn't say this, but what's time? Because He's the God of all eternity. A preacher that I've heard preach many, many times, had planned to, I heard him say, he said, I planned to give my Bible to my son, continue on in the ministry after I did. And his son took a definite left turn and went into sin and all kinds of other things. And that dream never happened. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. I guess we could ask who are the good people we're talking about, because we know who all of us we are. But I'm saying this evening, that even though God is good, and He is certainly, but He does allow some trouble to come to our lives. Brother Rose, as I again mentioned him, that his parents are faithful missionaries, giving the word out, doesn't ensure that we don't have troubles that come down through our lives. I know faithful people that have been serving the Lord. Now they're racked with pain and sickness. And all I know is that whatever happens to you and me in my life and you in your life, God has to, if you want to put it in this worldly terminology, sign off on it. Some people say, I don't know why God's doing this. Can I tell you that God doesn't tempt anybody, neither is He tempted by somebody. So be careful what you put at the feet of God. I don't know why God's doing this. It may not be that God's doing it, but everything is that God's allowing. Did God bring Job into difficulties and all of the torment that he was in? No, but God did lift up the hedge and allowed that wicked one to come in. All God's got to do is just take His protection off us, and we're all in trouble. Number one, God's good. Number two, though, since God's good, but even though God's good, He does allow trouble to come. And you're in Job, or maybe you are, but look in verse number 22 of chapter 1. My simple little outline would be that God is good, but He does allow trouble to come. But my point, if I had a third one, would be, don't let point number two distract you from point number one. You've seen those rules that say so-and-so's in charge. If you have any trouble, or so-and-so's in charge, that's rule number one. Rule number two, refer to rule number one. If you have any problems, God is good. Because the Bible says He is. Don't give me the thing, oh no, I know He's good because of what I've experienced. I'm thankful for that. And that's a secondary reason for why we can come to that conclusion. But the first and primary reason that we come to that conclusion is because the Word of God said so. Because if I only go on your experience, then what happens when your experience doesn't line up with the fact that God's good? So we start off with the Word of God saying that God is good. And then underneath there is point number two or three or four or sub point C is that I can testify by my experience that God's good. And I say amen to all that, but we back up to the main reason. The Word of God says so. He's good, but allows trouble to come. But when trouble comes, don't doubt point number one. Job 1:22 says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job 2, verse number 10, the first part of the verse, the young man that's getting married, the young man that's getting married, don't take that as your life verse. But then he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. At the beginning, when everything was good, Job said, God is good. In the middle, as he's sitting in the torture and torment of all that Satan has unleashed on him, losing everything except for his wife, everything that he valued, including his health, he said, God is good. He did have some questions there in the middle, but listen, give the fellow a break. And then at the end of it, he said, God is good. And my friend, I just take you back to that little interaction I had with somebody who was loosely connected with our church. He talked about his father that suffered for some time and then passed away. And then he talked about a cousin who in his mid-20s passed away because of cancer. And he was using his life experience to come to the conclusion that I'm not sure God is good. And friend, if all you do is look at the issues going on outside, you might come to that same conclusion. You look at the hurting, and you look at the vindictiveness, and you look at the hatred, and you look at the vileness, and you look at the contradiction of everybody against one another. You may say, Lord, the Lord's not doing right. That's why I say rooted in the Word of God, to remind yourself and stand upon the fact that He's good. But remember that He allows things in our lives that we wouldn't consider good. We have a great day and we say, ain't God good to give us so many blessings? Undeserving, that's what we are. The kids behave, praise the Lord. The dog's good for once, praise the Lord. Good, we've done a good job. Money's flowing nicely, praise the Lord. Paycheck's coming in, all things are going good. Your boss is nice to you. The marriage is good. God's good. And He is. But when the washing machine breaks and the mower's in the shop and the kids are sick and the house is leaking and you don't have vacation and bills are due and everything else seems to be going wrong, He's still good. If we're not careful as Christians, we're not much different than that man that I talked to that was not a Christian but was putting God up on trial. And God, I'm going to let it run out. I'm going to let it play out for a little while. And if things go like I think they should, then I'm going to pronounce you good. If instead they go in the negative sense, and instead they go down instead of up, then I'm not going to be able to put that pronouncement on you. Well, tonight, if we take that mindset, or if we enter into that, then we're not much different than that unsaved man that I talked to, because we as Christians can get to the same spot where we're like a running gauge and our life is moving that needle and we're letting the events of our life change the needle to good, not so good, or bad. And when life is smiley and everything's sunny and 70, God's so good. When it's bad and bills are coming due and I don't have the money to pay them and sickness has invaded my family, then the needle comes over to the other side. My friend, you'd save yourself a lot of trouble if you just slip that black robe off that the judge has and take yourself out of that position to decide whether or not God's good. And just settle it once and for all that God's not on trial. His goodness is not in question. I may not be able to figure everything out that He does, but when I can't figure it out, I'll just faith it out and trust Him anyways. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who we're all familiar with, they told the king, you remember the story? They're going to throw him in the fiery furnace. And they said, that's fine with us. That's the nonchalant version. I mean, I don't think they were probably quite so eased about it. But that's fine with us. And by the way, our God is able to take us out of there. But the sub point to the sub point was, or He may let us burn to a crisp. And they said, our God is able, but if not, you all know the story, we're still going to serve Him. Those are some boys that decided not to be in the judge position and try to determine whether or not God was good. Whether or not he was good. They just determined He is good. He's right. And I'm just reporting for duty. Our friend that I mentioned already this morning, Brother John Bishop, when he got meningitis and lost all memory of everything, and then as he had to be taught everything, he used as his ministry mantra after that, God is always good and God is always right. He determined that he was going to take God off trial and just settle it once and for all that our God is good. My friend, if you don't live that way and if I don't live that way, then we're going to constantly be assessing our situation. And one day I'm up and the next day I'm down. Listen, this does not fix all your problems. This does not make anything that's going you're going through different. What it does is just give the leeway to God. Say, God, you can do whatever you want. I'm still in love with you. I still believe that you're good and you're right. And the reason we believe that, again, as I reiterate and close, that's what His Word says. We all love Romans 8:28, don't we? We know all things work together for good, them love God. We all love John 3:16. God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son. We all love when it says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But He also put that part in there about Job, where he went through all that Satan could dish out to him. God is good. And may we trust Him in everything. Father, we pray that you'd bless us now as we come to our time that we just reflect just a bit, dear Lord. And Father, it's our human nature, I guess. You made us. You know us from the beginning to the end. Lord, we get a little forgetful. We forget how good you are. The songwriter said, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not make our judgment on the basis of what's going on right now at this moment. Because Lord, where we are right now might not look so good. But help us to be settled on the fact that you're good. And Lord, you love us. And as the ladies just play something, you're there at the house. But maybe God's dealing with your heart. And as we just have a little bit of thought of reflection here, stick with me for another minute or two. Let me give you this illustration. You know a good family. They have great kids. You know they have family harmony. But you peer into that family setting one time, and without their knowledge, you're watching in on them, and you see the dad disciplining a child or the mom disciplining a child. If that's all you knew of that family, you might look and say, wow, there's not a lot of love there. But you're not seeing the whole picture. And maybe there's something that's going on in your life or my life. And if all we had was that one incident that's going on, we might look at it and say, wow, doesn't seem like God's being too good to that boy. But you're not taking into consideration the whole picture of all that God's doing. And then where the illustration breaks down is that that dad and that mom in that family, they are a sinful somebody. Maybe redeemed, but they still have that flesh. And God is God from eternity past to eternity future. There is no guile in Him. There is no vileness. There's nothing in Him that's wrong. He's good. All that He does. May we trust Him. May we rely on Him. And may we determine as we go throughout our week, starting tomorrow, God is my God and God is a great God. So maybe as kids we weren't too far off. God is good. God is great. God is good. For He truly is. I'm going to have Brother Dan come and lead us in the chorus of that song we sang about that peace. Because that peace is what comes when we stop deciding whether or not God's good. We get settled down. It lets peace come over our soul. I don't know, men, if you can find that. Thank you so much. Brother Dan, lead us in that, and then we'll be dismissed.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
What a joy it is to gather together. Challenge you to be praying this week for the workers that will be over in the auditorium. Of course, you know that's why we're here. They're working full steam ahead on the auditorium. So pray that the Lord would continue to keep us safe over there. And then we're so blessed. And maybe you've seen on some of the social media platforms what God has already done spiritually through this renovation project. If you haven't, I challenge you to go back and look at some of the past posts. It's been amazing what God's already done. He's been so good to us. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We are praying for you. If there's anything that we can do here at the church, please call in and let us know. We'll add you to our prayer list. We have staff devotions every morning. And if there's something you need us to go over in prayer, please feel free to call and let us know. We'll take care of all of those things. God bless you. Have a great night.
what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.